Welcome, True Believer readers, to a Saturday Express episode of Let's Read Spider-Man. Today we will cover 8 books about our favorite web-slinging hero. And just like a 1968 milkman, we will go fast and make only a few stops. Books are all pretty dense, so even though we're going to be going quickly, we still have a lot to cover. Before we start, let me just remind you that we'll be using product placement in the Saturday Express episodes to keep things moving. Today we are covering books from December of 1992 through June of 1993. They are mostly from Web of Spider-Man, plus 2 crossovers from Ghost Rider's Spirits of Vengeance 23 book run of the early 90s. The first 4 of the books we're going to discuss today were penned by Howard Mackey with various artists and inkers. They are Web of Spider-Man's issues 95 and 96, Storm Shadows and Enemies, a hate story, and Spirits of Vengeance 5 and 6, Casting Shadows and Last Rites. Spider-Man is swinging along, pulling a webbed-up complaining Jason McIndale in tow, when they are both attacked by the Demo Goblin and six-armed doppelganger Spider-Man. Spider-Man refuses to let McIndale go because he wants to bring him to justice for nearly killing Nikki Katzenberger. Their battle spills into a church just as another battle of 6 players enters. This one has Ghost Rider and John Blaze battling Deathspawn and Venom battling Hag and Troll. As this series continues, all the players I mentioned from both sides of Spider-Man's battle get captured by the Deathspawn. Ghost Rider and Blaze want to free Spider-Man because he is an ally. Venom wants to kill Hag and Troll for killing the innocent guardsman a few issues ago. And Venom also wants Spider-Man free so Venom can eat Spider-Man's brains. Now, in these books, if anyone else tries to kill Spider-Man, Venom will stop them so he can be the one to do it.
Hey, listeners. Spirits of Vengeance deals with different creatures than we see in typical Spider-Man books. The Deathspawn should be thought of as these ghouls created by Deathwatch to get bodies to be fed to Deathwatch. They want to devour everyone to give strength to their leader, quote, Deathwatch, who is a vessel waiting to be fed energy so he can power up.
Back in his book, Spider-Man has to go save McIndale from the Demo Goblin. Venom wants to kill the Demo Goblin for killing innocents. Demo Goblin tries to kill Spider-Man, but of course, with Venom's interference, he instead shoots the doppelganger Spider-Man with the 6 arms. Demo Goblin knows that he's no longer safe and wishes he had a better ally, such as the woman who defeated a superhero with a broom and some attitude. That's Mamie Muggins. She's the landlord that he wishes he had right now. But since he doesn't, the Deathspawn drag the Demo Goblin underwater, taking him out of play, and then Ghost Rider holds up Venom long enough to allow Spider-Man and McIndale to get away from Venom. Thus, Venom decides Ghost Rider must now be added to his list.
James B., this plot is so convoluted. I'm confused at this point. I gotta tell you, Venom is the most confusing for me. It, like, switching between one character. You killed an innocent. You killed an innocent. Now I'm against you, but no one can harm Spider-Man. I'm so glad you're here to bring clarity for us, James B.
We know on this Saturday Express, I was very tempted to put this whole thing down in 3 sentences.
I can understand that.
But basically, the last couple lines I'll say here will hammer home the point. Look, as this whole thing concludes, Venom tries to kill Ghost Rider, Blaze tries to kill Venom, the Deathspawn grab all 3 of them, and Troll and Hag are waiting for Deathwatch to kill the good guys. But Spider-Man shows up, he frees everyone while all the Deathspawn are absorbed into Deathwatch. In summary, using Venom as an ally at times, the good guys individually stop all the bad guys one by one, and then they turn on Venom and he gets captured. The 3 good guys are fine. The guardsmen take away Troll, Hag, Deathwatch, Venom, Demo Goblin, and McIndale. The 6-armed Spider-Man is kind of missing. Don't worry. He shows up again in another book later. Don't worry.
Great. He's
all right. That summary took a lot out of me. I need to get some water, so just give me one moment, okay? All right, I am back. I actually ended up grabbing a Polar Seltzer Ruby Red Grapefruit, but that will have to do.
Nice. Good choice.
All right, thanks. The next books are from December of 1992 and January, February, and March of 1993. Stanley presents Web of Spider-Man 97, 98, 99, and 100. Opening Volley, Uneasy Alliances, The Swords Are Drawn, Total War, and a bonus story, The Origin of Nightwatch. Written by Kavanaugh, art by Saviuk, Hudson, Yanger, and Rubenstein. Or as you like to say, Rubenstein.
I like that German accent. All right, tell me about the Blood Rose, James B.
Okay. Blood Rose contacts the Foreigner for assistance on his next strike at the very heart of the Fisk criminal empire. Fisk Tower's on fire, so Spidey leaps into action. Spider-Man is surprised to see Blood Rose mowing down the Kingpin's men. Spider-Man catches up to Blood Rose, and he has a hostage. Spider-Man calls his bluff by striking the hostage in the face with a web ball, knocking him out a broken window and onto a web net outside.
I don't mind many of the like impossible things that happen in these books, but this scene to me is so improbable. Like, Blood Rose is killing people in a burning building and then just stops when Spider-Man shows up. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, James B., Spidey tries to convince Blood Rose he's actually working with him by toppling a dude out the window and Blood Rose is like, oh, you've killed him. I honestly thought that this was not actually Spider-Man in some kind of imposture, but it's as totally awkward and weird as it sounds.
Please don't make me go back and explain anything I've already talked about.
All right, moving on.
This is a Saturday Express. We just go forward. Plus, I don't remember the details. Blood Rose escapes while Spider-Man saves the lives of the rest of the mobsters trapped inside. Inside, Spider-Man runs into Robbie Robertson, who's trying to take pictures, like, for the Bugle. And Spider-Man's like, get out. And Robertson's like, no, I need to get a story. And
I almost stopped you here too, James, because I'm like, what? Robbie Robertson like snatches a kid's camera and runs into the burning Fisk Tower. I'm like, Robbie, what are you doing? All right. Anyways, continue on. The train only moves forward, James. Yeah,
he snatches the camera and says something like, Bill, I'll buy this camera from you.
Bill the Bugle.
Yeah, he takes the whole camera. Blood Rose comes crashing into the stairwell with a whole bunch of foreigner cyber warriors. Well, that's like another kind of robotic thing we've never seen before. Blood Rose lets Joe Robbie go, and Spider-Man fights Blood Rose and the foreigner's cyber warriors for much of the book. Then Joe Robbie gets involved again, and Blood Rose leaves saying, I'm just wasting too much time on Spider-Man. I've got other things to deal with. Half a world away, I think this part of the story is more interesting, we see Richard Fisk. He recalls how he was shot and left for dead in the waters of New York City, where no one ever dies, by the Blood Rose. However, Fisk was rescued, but the boat that he was rescued on crashed, and then everyone died. Okay. There's a strange guy on the island who calls himself Trench. We're going to call him Kevin Trench from now on because he has a name. And he informs Richard that Richard was the only survivor from the boat. For some reason, they're training together. And Richard's wearing like an eye patch now. And he's like, don't call me Fisk anymore. All right. We'll get back to that in a second because we can't tell that whole story until we talk about Betty Brant. She goes to dinner to meet Peter's parents. Like MJ and Aunt May are there as well. And MJ is continuing to be a smoker. Betty goes to see Joe Robbie in secret at the Bugle. And Blood Rose disguises himself as a cyber warrior. And then he confronts the foreigner for what feels like the very first time.
Good synopsis, James B. There's a lot of things that are going on here. But it's very exciting to have like Betty doing these mysterious things with Robbie at the Bugle. All right, continue on.
Yeah, Betty's a better character than Liz Allen these days.
Yes. So
good for her.
For sure.
The Blood Rose nearly kills the foreigner. Spider-Man takes the foreigner's body, which is cold as ice, to the hospital and finds a mask and realizes this might not be the foreigner at all. Because people just wear masks all the time. MJ goes to see Betty and Joe Robbie is there. After MJ updates him, Peter is more concerned with the news report of the Foreigner being killed at the hospital, and he heads out as Spider-Man, where he fights some of the new enforcers, which are just some level D like type villains, Eddie. They're way down the bottom.
I saw them, and we can move on again.
I do not even name them. The bigger stories, and they have names, are that we learn Blood Rose is actually the rear Richard Fisk. And the man calling himself Richard Fisk renames himself Gauntlet and heads off the island with a single stolen glove, which is part of the guy's costume. See, the guy on the island, Kevin Trench, is some costume character named Nightwatch, who, as we read this, he's nobody, but I'm sure he's going to be appearing in other books. Like, oh, Nightwatch is there. Right now, it's like some new guy. He wanted to stay on the island. That's like, I'm just going to sit on this island. He's got the whole Venom complex. Me on the island, good. Stay away from
everybody else. Chilling.
Yeah. But now that his one glove is gone, part of his costume, he has to suit up his whole thing, head back to New York just to get his glove from Trench. He's not sure if it's damaged, so he calls a tinker repair shop. He'll know, they'll tell him when to bring it in and how much it costs. He could have found them at www.tinkerer.com or at Tinkerer on Instagram.
I, for one, am glad the Tinkerer seems to be open for business, just as he was in 1963.
So Blood Rose and Spider-Man both fight the enforcers. And in the end, all the enforcers and both Richard Fisks, which one being his friend Alfredo, they all get arrested. And then we get 11 pages to learn the origin of Nightwatch, what I want to summarize in three sentences.
Okay.
Kevin Trench is in love with this girl, Ashley, who is the youngest department head in ESU's history, so good for him. A portal opens, and his future self arrives, like, in the costume, and then dies.
Yeah.
So he puts on the suit, and also just finds out that Ashley's plane has been hijacked, and he fails to save her, and with the loss of his love and not knowing how to handle the costume, he's like, I'm just going to move to a deserted island and stay here. And then, of course, Alfredo Morelli with the fake Richard Fisk shows up, steals the gauntlet, and, you know, catches up to the story. So there you go.
You know I complained about the convoluted nature of the first two books, but these Richard Fisk books are more appropriately convoluted because they involve Richard Fisk. We want to know what Richard Fisk is doing. He's a major and serious character in Spider-Man. So I really hope, like, we stop hearing about Richard Fisk and he either becomes the Kingpin or someone becomes the Kingpin again, because that Kingpin is just such a great character.
Yeah, Richard Fisk, first appearance in Amazing Spider-Man 83 as the Schemer.
Yes, the Schemer.
Little did we know all the headaches. I missed the Schemer. Things were simpler back then. So, in summary, Eddie, on the Saturday Express web of Spider-Mans, some listeners might say to themselves, hey man, this was just a bunch of rambling. It was hard to follow. Why didn't you take these 8 books and really break them down? I'm going to tell you why. Because the first 4 were basically Spider-Man getting involved with Ghost Rider and just everybody getting captured except for Spider-Man, Ghost Rider, and his friend. And that was it. Jason McNeil gets arrested. Timo Goblin apparently is arrested. I guess you could arrest these people. As well as Hag and Troll. And they're all arrested. That's all you need. There's a bunch of fighting. All the bad guys get arrested. In the second set of books, here's all you needed to know. I could have summarized it this way. There's a whole bunch of people pretending to be the Foreigner and Richard Fisk. In the end, they all get arrested. And in the end, there's a new superhero named Kevin Trench running around. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I would just add that Nightwatch, we get this little story at the end. I would say, almost judging by his costume alone, that he's kind of an important character. And it's almost okay with me that we get this little epilogue at the end that kind of talks about his story a little bit more and that he's involved in here with Spider-Man. So even though I don't think we've seen Nightwatch too much, there's some gravity about him that makes him more interesting than so many of the other characters in these books.
No, I understand. And even the Foreigner, like I said, all these I don't think we really had the real Foreigner. I think this was a situation like Doctor Doom where we think we found the real Foreigner, yeah. But they're like, nope, that was somebody else's body.
He seems like downplayed. And maybe I'm giving the writers more credit than I should that they've, you know, they weren't trying to make him seem less significant than he is, but he just doesn't seem very important. Whereas, like, Night Watch and certainly Richard Fisk, super important in these stories.
Well, we promised to cover all the books from all the Spider-Mans, and this is a bunch of them. And gotta be honest, I targeted these because they didn't seem as important as some of the other stories. So hopefully we got you through this. It's a Saturday. 2 days from now, we'll release a nice, juicy Monday episode, and you can jump onto that at the same time. But other than that, I think it's time to wrap things up. So now it's time for the close. I'm James B., joined by
Eddie.
And remember, listeners,
you can email us at letsreadspiderman@gmail.com or click on the link in this podcast description to join our Discord channel and connect with us through social media.
And join us next episode, which, of course, I said is in 2 days from now, as we'll cover the more important plot line, the Spider Slayer, which always makes me happy and Eddie sad. And, ooh, maybe this time it will be different. Who knows?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
James B., there is so much stuff we could talk about in this after show, I think. But you know what I want to talk about? The Steel Spider, or the Spider of Steel. Do you know what I'm referring to, James B.?
I do not.
On the cover of issue 100, Spider-Man is in this like blinged out outfit.
He's got spider armor on.
Yes, he puts his own armor on before he like goes toe to toe with, you know, honestly, any one of the 15 different baddies that could have gone toe to toe in these books. But
well, it's like a hologram metal reflective cover and everything.
Oh,
like that,
really?
So. Yep.
Oh, I don't have that on my book cover, but I mean, it's very like. He does look like Shredder from Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
In a big way, for sure.
You've never owned this book.
That would be true.
Web of Spider-Man, listeners, is a very easy-to-collect run. If you're like, I want to collect all the books from a Spider-Man title, go get Web of Spider-Man. You only have to worry about issue 1 and issue 118. Everything else is like pretty much dirt cheap. I mean, honestly, the ones that involve Kraven's Last Stand or maybe have a little value. And this whole Kevin Trench Nightwatch section, this is with the Enforcers. This is actually some of the more expensive books too, believe it or not.
Wow. Because
it's like first Nightwatch.
True.
Who I don't really know, but I know that they were always worth a little bit more than the regular ones when I was selling these out at once upon a time. I'm like, oh, I should hold back on these couple books. First appearance of Kevin Trench. First appearance of Nightwatch. You know, but true. No one cared about first appearance of spider armor.
I do. I like this shiny armor.